Welcome to Tusker Sports Weekly, episode number 123 for you this week. Your one-stop shop for all things Husker sports, and it is game day. We're recording this on Friday, October 6th, and Nebraska has traveled to Champaign, Illinois to take on the Illinois Fighting Illini in Big Ten West Conference play. A big game here tonight. Many think it's a must-win game here tonight for Nebraska. We will be here to break down the entire thing for you, give you an entire preview, and make our picks for the week. But before we get into any of that, Connor Clark and Grant Hansen here with you. As always, you can find us on Twitter at @C_Clark_27 and at Hanson, not Hanson.
Last name ending in E-N, not O-N.
If you spell it with O-N, he will personally come and find you and let you know about it. You can find our show on Twitter at Husker Weekly and search Husker Sports Weekly in the search bar of your favorite podcast networks to find our show. So let's get into it. I really don't think we need to talk about the Michigan game very much because it was just a funeral.
Nope.
So let's move on from that 45-7 absolute trouncing of the Nebraska Cornhuskers by the big bad Michigan Wolverines. I will say it was fun having Barstool in the house. So Dave Portnoy did three, as far as we know, separate pizza
Well,
reviews.
No, yeah, he did three pizza and then the Runza.
Yes, he did do the Runza. He gave the Runza a solid score. It was like a 7-6, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. Was not a fan of the Valentinos, but I feel like we all saw that coming.
Right.
When he announced that he was going there, everybody's like, why?
Yeah.
But I think he followed it up well with Momos and Yayas, so
yeah,
that's good.
I think people were afraid that that was the only review he was going to do was Valentino's, which is not the case.
It was not the case. He definitely got his money's worth while he was here.
Oh,
three
yeah.
Separate pizza reviews. He's been talking about it for a while coming to Lincoln mainly because of Compton and him hyping it up for game day. And I think it lived up to expectations. The atmosphere was great pregame. Obviously, a lot of people left at halftime, including myself. So... Yeah, I'm ashamed to admit that, but I did leave at halftime. It was hot. It was a blowout, and
yeah,
I wanted to cool off. So we'll leave that in the rearview mirror, and we will look ahead to a game that Nebraska has a chance to win in. Many people believe that they should win this game. Many people believe this is a must-win game. So Nebraska 2-3, 0-2 in the conference. Illinois 2-3, 0-2 in the conference. And these are two teams, I mean, let's be honest. This is a sickos game. Absolutely a sickos game. Illinois is a 3.5-point favorite as of right now. The over-under is 42. It's going to be a chilly night in Champaign. Kickoff temperature is projected to be 49 degrees. It's also chilly in Lincoln here today as well. So it's going to be a very fall game with two teams that have kind of struggled to score the football. A team in Illinois that has struggled to keep the football with them and protect their quarterback. And a team in Nebraska that, well, is trying to, I guess, recapture that fire after being beaten pretty badly. And also Illinois, who was also beaten pretty badly on the road against Purdue 44-19. So a couple of team stats for you. Nebraska averaging just under 350 yards a game. Illinois, 390 yards a game. Illinois goes 242 through the air per game and 148 on the ground per game. Nebraska kind of the opposite. 140 on the ground per game, 209 through the 140 through the air, 209 through on the ground. So yards allowed, Illinois gives up a lot, 419 a game. Like, that is a lot, and 179 of those have come on the ground. Nebraska, after last week, the rushing yards per game kind of got inflated, which is understandable. But it's still only at 86, so that's still the bread and butter of this defense. They give up 238 through the air for a grand total of 325 per game. So both of these teams coming off of rather uninspiring losses. They're both in the basement of the Big Ten West. Somehow, some way, Northwestern is above both of these teams, which is something I didn't think we'd be saying at this point in the season. So, I mean, I don't really know what to make of this game. I think Nebraska can win. But at the same time, I'd be faulting my own argument from a couple weeks ago about saying there's maybe not very many winnable games left on the schedule.
Oh, I strongly disagree with that statement. I think the next four games are all very winnable.
I need them to score. I need them to score. I can't. They have not showed me that they could score.
Well, I mean, I think your perspective is jaded a little bit just because of that Michigan game. And I think that's true for a lot of people.
I made the argument after the La Tech game.
See, the thing is, I think this Illinois defense is really bad. With the exception of Jerjon Newton, they're strong in, up front in the tackles. Their two defensive tackles are extremely talented, and that'll be Nebraska's biggest test tonight. The problem, though, is that their back end, they lost four draft picks in the back end, including Devin Witherspoon, who just absolutely brutalized my Giants on Monday night.
The one in my fantasy game.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredible. He's incredibly talented. And I think, you know, like I was talking to an Illinois beat writer earlier this week, and I said, man, do you think Devin Witherspoon was underestimated, either locally or nationally? He said locally, no. He didn't think nationally either. Look, I can tell you I underestimated his value. I after watching that Monday Night Football game, he is a game wrecker. And he's a guy who's decent in coverage too, obviously. So this is the type of guy who I think is very, very capable at the NFL level and was an anchor for this defense a year ago. And not only that, but you lose multiple other draft picks in the back end. So that's a big part of why they took a step back. You just remember how physical this group was a year ago and how talented they were defensively. And then on the offensive side, you had Chase Brown and you had a really physical run game. Well, that part of the picture is gone. And so this game for Nebraska is extremely winnable. It's winnable for both teams, but it's also a turning point for both teams. Neither of these teams, if they want to make a bowl game, if they want to make, you know, any sort of headway in this last year of the Big Ten West, can afford to fall to 0-3 in the Big Ten or 2-4 overall.
Yes.
So it's a must-win for both teams on a Friday night. I don't know. I think this game is winnable for Nebraska. I think their games against Purdue and Northwestern are very winnable, and I think their game against Michigan State is too. We'll have to see where Iowa's at after losing Cade McNamara, but you could see Iowa being a very winnable game. Now, the two games that I think you can probably mark down as sure losses at this point are Maryland and Wisconsin. We'll see where that goes from there. But I think this game tonight is very winnable for Nebraska against a defense that has struggled all year long. Now you got to overcome some things. I mean, you got to overcome the loss of Deshaun Singleton for a while, the loss of Lou Grimer, at least for this game. But I think Nebraska is deep enough at the linebacker core, and then additionally in the back end of the defense with the cross training and those sorts of things that they've done, they prepared for this all year. So are you going to have that same physical, you know, guy who can come up and fit runs like Deshaun Singleton can? I mean, maybe not necessarily, but you're going to have guys back there who are capable of filling his shoes.
Can I make a rephrase to that statement to make you feel a little bit better about the previous argument?
Shoot.
Is there a game, and maybe Northwestern, but literally like the night that I made that argument, they put up 37 on Minnesota and won, which is kind of funny.
And they have a lot more fight than I think any of us expected.
Absolutely. I wouldn't say that there's a game, at least for me, that I'm going to go into for the rest of the year where I'm saying Nebraska should win. Like, obviously, okay, I think I agree with you that, okay, this is a winnable game. Like, 2-3, 0-2 in the Big Ten West. You mentioned turning points for both of these teams. But am I going into this game saying Nebraska should win this game, and if they don't, oh my God, what are we going to do? I don't know if I'm ready to say that. I mean, they're 3.5-point underdogs for a reason, right?
I mean, the reason is they're on the road.
But still,
it's usually, the home field advantage is usually a field goal. This line would be damn near even if it was at Memorial Stadium, or maybe like a 1-point Nebraska favorite. I mean, both of these teams, and look, it's not like these teams are good. I mean, neither of these teams are, and Nebraska is not going to play another good team the rest of the year, other than maybe Maryland. So, but
Scaryland,
you know, Nebraska is defensively equipped to win this game, and you like look. I mean, the offensive line for Illinois is a huge problem.
Yes.
I mean, both these teams are in this. I mean, I think we are staring down the barrel of a Rutgers 2022 type of night. I think I think that is like, and oh, no. Nebraska might not have as much trouble protecting as they did back then a year ago. But Illinois, I mean, you think about, I believe Illinois has surrendered the most, or sorry, let's see how I can phrase this. The most, they're the second most pressured pocket in the Big Ten.
They've given up 21 sacks this year.
They've also given up roughly a 41% pressure rate on Luke Altmyer. So that's obviously a huge problem. I think the number one team in the Big Ten in terms of pressure rate allowed is like 43%. But again, you're saying basically, you know, in two of every five dropbacks, he's under duress. So, yeah, you got a good left tackle, Julian Pearl, or I believe is his name. He's really good. But you've got a guard who's playing right tackle and a first-year starting center in the middle. So this group has struggled to mesh properly, and that's a large part of sort of the struggles that you're seeing for them on the offensive line. And Nebraska needs to feast. Like, Cam Lenhart needs to feast.
Yes.
Princewell Unmielen needs to feast. You got to see pressure from Ty Robinson, from Nash Hutmacher. So Nebraska is going to – this is lined up, I think, in a lot of ways for Nebraska to enforce its will against the opponent. And I will say – I mean, I am – I think if Nebraska does lose this game, then I am panicking a little bit. If I'm hoping to go to a bowl game, right? If that's my perspective as a fan, which I am not, obviously, I am not a fan.
Well, yeah,
but I'm just saying, like, from a fan's perspective, if Nebraska loses this game tonight, yes, it is time to panic. Because you are, again, you're 2-4, or rather, yeah, 2-4 at that point. You need wins. You have to win the next three games to get to a bowl and then upset someone in November. It's really, really difficult. And not only that, everything in this game, with the exception of being on the road, but even that's somewhat helpful because you're going to be looking at maybe 40,000 fans tonight at the top end of things for Illinois.
Probably.
Everything lines up for you to win this game. You have the advantage on the defensive line of scrimmage. You have struggles for Illinois defensively, and your weakness, passing, they have struggled to handle that. So there, everything is lined up for you to win this game, and if you can't do it after the embarrassment of last week and the Sunday practice and all the things they would say this team is motivated to win, that's a huge red flag, I think.
It's a massive red flag. And look, I'm kind of in the boat of, like, I don't think, based off of the five games that we've watched, I'm not in the boat of saying this team is going to make a bowl. Like, I don't feel comfortable saying this team is going to make a bowl game. I think that's a fair statement.
I mean, right now, no, I don't think you can say that. I think I'm comfortable saying that they have the talent to make a bowl game. And they should be, at this point, they should be 3-2. At a bare minimum, they should be 3-2. And so, no doubt in my mind, they have the talent to make a bowl game. Now
But
they have to play clean football. And they have to play well defensively. I mean, that's just the style of team that this is.
It's just weird because, again, it all comes back. And I know there's been the narrative of, like, this defense is good enough to get you a bowl game, which I think is 100% true. Even after last week, I still think that's 100% true. They just didn't, like, they did not, A, show up, and B, they ran out of Michigan, right? So, watching that Michigan front group offensively and defensively last week in person was like, whoa, like,
right,
these dudes are legit. And we knew that coming into that game, but then you see it in person, it's a whole nother element. But I know we keep pounding on this, especially maybe I need more out of the offense. Like, 18 points a game is not enough to get you there. And this is a team that, look, and you mentioned this is an Illinois team that has had trouble defending the pass. And I liked some of the things that I saw from Heinrich last week. I mean, you saw a couple of chunk plays early on in that game that I was not expecting
well
to see. So, I mean, you caught, I believe it was Billy Kemp on a post route early on in that game. Fedoni had a couple of receptions, and the drive just kind of stalled out because you went into the shotgun and tried to jump over everybody on 4th-and-1, right? So I think you kind of saw what he can do in the pass game, and again, against a Michigan defense. So I think you really have to have that into consideration. So I think that Harburg can and will throw the ball better than he has probably all year, just based off of what we can see on paper. I was talking about this earlier with Bill Dolman, our favorite, of course.
Favorite.
And I said, Altmaier's thrown 7 picks. Now, obviously, 3 of them had come in the one game against Penn State. I need to see a couple of short fields in order for me to feel really confident about Nebraska winning this game. I need to see turnovers. Need it. Need yep. interceptions or fumble or something. Need that short field for this offense to operate. Because, again, we've seen them put together long drives, but then you either come down and, I mean, Tristan Alvano, bless his heart, he's a freshman, hasn't had the greatest season kicking the ball. Mm-mm. I think that's fair.
Yep.
Or you just haven't been able to convert on a crucial fourth down, or you get that turnover or something else. So I think you need a couple of short fields, 2 to 3 turnovers. Then I feel pretty confident that you're going to win the game. And I think you could say that about any team, but this team especially, this opponent especially, with the amount of times that they give away the football and give up sacks, you got to take advantage with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not to the point where I think they need it. Of course, that is huge. I think that is something that would make obviously a ginormous difference. This team has struggled with turnovers. The turnover margins for both these teams are the same. They're both -6.
They're both gross.
Altmaier has thrown 7 picks. 4 of them came against Penn State.
I said 3 earlier.
And then he also has some fumbling issues. They drove down in that Purdue game, and I can't remember what quarter it was in. It was early on, enough where it would have made a difference. And they got down to the goal line, and he fumbled it, and they turned it over.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a team that is just like Nebraska, certainly at least in the early part of the season, although that number hasn't necessarily evened out in terms of the defense forcing more turnovers. Nebraska has stopped turning it over about as much as they did at the beginning of the year. But this is a team that really both these teams struggle mightily with turnovers. You're going to, I think you're going to have to force some, but I don't think, I do not think that it is necessary for Nebraska to win. It does make things a lot easier. The margin for error is very, very slim without them.
I'm just saying for my personal confidence level in this team to win the game, that's what I need to see. Because maybe 2 to 3 turnovers isn't required to win the game.
Right.
Which I think is a fair statement to make for my confidence level, because we've seen, it's hard to point to a specific moment this year because you really haven't had that many turnovers, but you've seen teams in the past, and I know it's not the rule era, but you've seen teams in the past set themselves up for success turnover-wise or getting a big stop, and it still hasn't worked out.
Right, you need to capitalize on that turnover.
So that's
Michigan 2021.
And maybe you don't capitalize on every single turnover you get. That's why I need multiple. Because say you get a pick in the first quarter, you don't capitalize, but you recover a fumble early on in the third quarter, then you need to, right? You need another opportunity at that, and that's kind of what I'm getting at there.
And you wonder, too, I guess, I think some of the discussion surrounding this game seems to insinuate we will be seeing Jeff Sims at some point tonight in an expanded role.
What's your thoughts on that?
You need him. You need him out there. I truly believe that.
In what capacity?
Whether that's a starting quarterback or not, it doesn't matter. You need someone out there to help take some of the weight off Henrik Harburg, at least in the run game, because this is a team that, again, you just keep piling the mileage up on Anthony Grant and Henrik Harburg as the year goes on, and things are going to get tougher, and you have an increased risk of injury for both of those guys. So I think that's a much-needed move. But you had comments from Greg Sharp, I think it was, who's the play-by-play voice for Nebraska. I think it was a couple of days ago, that or yesterday, where he kind of said, I got a feeling we might see some Jeff Sims. And my boss, Sean Callahan, reported something relatively similar. He's getting this vibe that, I think you're going to see Jeff Sims. When you see people reporting something like that publicly, not necessarily even reporting, but hinting at something like that publicly, they're hearing something behind closed doors that is causing enough confidence in order to say that.
When there's smoke, there is fire.
So, the question is, what does it look like? Does Henrik Harburg get the start on the road, and then you see a little bit of Sims working in read option or bringing him in certain situations? I don't know. Is he exclusively a runner? Do they have some sort of a trick, semi-trick play involved where he's going to throw the football? I don't know.
The Minnesota debacle. Can we see that again?
But you need him out there. You need him out there because as much of a risk as he is at times, in terms of, well, not necessarily at times, he as much of a risk as he's established himself to be in terms of his turnovers, and especially on the road because we don't have really a whole lot of him at home. If he is healthy, though, you need him out there because he is one of, if not your best, athlete remaining on this roster at this time in terms of speed, elusiveness, physicality. He checks a lot of those boxes, and he gives you a chance to make a big play that there's really not a whole lot of other people on the field right now that can do that.
I would want to see him more so in a running role, and I think he can do that quite well. I mean, we've seen him do it quite well. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, he's athletic enough, he's big enough, he's very strong. He had a big run against Colorado before he got hurt for that touchdown. I mean, we know that he can run, as one of the fan base's good friends likes to say, he can run the damn ball, okay?
It's true.
And I think if you throw him in there for some option stuff, maybe you see a trick play here or there. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of switch that off if they end up doing so. I'd be really interested to see, and this is just a complete hypothetical, I don't have any inside source, but I'm really interested to see what the reaction would be if he trots out there as the starter tonight. Like, that would be fascinating about, like, it's either going to be the, hey, what the hell are we doing response, or be, oh, glad Jeff's healthy, glad to have him back. Right?
Now, there are some advantages to this. One, you do it on the road like this, if there's a pro, he's not going to get booed. You do not have to worry about, and I don't know if how much of the fan base would have done it, but the optics of doing that in a home game after everything Sims had done in the first two games, and then the favored son, Harburg, coming back, and the local kid being the starting quarterback for two games, doing that in the Michigan game would have been a bad idea, I think. Just, again, you have that risk of the optics.
Yes.
What happens to Jeff Sims, too, from a confidence perspective, you know, if something like that. So, you eliminate that if you do it in this game. Now, of course, the con, I mean, I think generally, if you're going to bring Sims back and you wanted to bring him back for sure, I think what you do is you let Harburg start this game. You get a look at what Harburg looks like operating the offense on the road, because we haven't seen that yet. And then you have the bye week, let Sims get fully healthy, and then you bring him back after the bye if you really want to go back to Sims. But, I mean, again, we've talked about this at the beginning of the year. Flip-flopping back and forth is really difficult to do. And once you go back again, it is going to be difficult to return to Harburg.
Yes, I agree. And that's like, that's kind of why, and I know this whole thing is stemmed from injury. And who knows if it would have happened if Sims kept playing and kept turning the ball over. I mean, that's kind of only something that we can speculate about. But, yeah, it'll be hard to go back to Harburg, if that's the case, a second time and try and create some consistency offensively. So, Nebraska is a 3.5-point underdog in this game, and a lot of that, as you said earlier, based off of, you know, home field advantage, which is a true statement. So, I mean, 42 is the over-under. Do you think that is anywhere close to getting touched?
If, over or under? You mean going just, over the 42?
Just near 42.
I think that feels about right. I mean, this, like I said earlier, this has the Rutgers Friday night vibe to it. You're going to be
That's
seeing
a
game
thought.
That is probably a race to 20 to 21 to win. I don't see this as being a shootout. I don't see Nebraska as pulling away and winning big. I think you're looking at that 20 range.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the thought of another Rutgers Friday night game, and I know they won last year, but that makes me nervous because that game looked not so good for a while.
Oh, no, yeah, it was not fun.
That was a rough start to that game, but they were able to pull it out. So it should be a Should be a defensive battle, a cold night in Champaign, Illinois, a cold night really in Lincoln as well. So find your favorite couch, your favorite spot in town, your favorite TV to watch your games on. Get locked in because this is a big game for Nebraska. As Grant said earlier, potential turning point this season for Nebraska going into the second half of the year, essentially 0-0, and going into the bye week, essentially 0-0 as well, which is a big deal, especially psychologically for this team. So Nebraska, Illinois, we'll pick that game in just a moment with the rest of our picks, but the college football slate is no joke this week. Absolutely no joke this week. You got the Red River game. A game that really intrigues me, honestly, is Ohio State, Maryland. You have ranked SEC matchup with LSU and Missouri, Alabama at A&M. Can A&M pull off another upset? Only time will tell. North Carolina hosting a surprising 4-1 Syracuse team. Kentucky and Georgia, that's another ranked matchup in the SEC. Notre Dame and, whoa, hold on a second, Louisville's 5-0. I know, right? They're in the top 25. That's another top 25 matchup. So we got a lot of potentially great picks for this week. So our picks last week, Grant had Oregon State versus Utah. You had Utah winning. I agreed with you. That just
did not turn out.
Kansas at Texas, you had Kansas covering, but losing.
They would have. They would have covered. If not for a very serious injury.
Yes, that is true. And then you had Michigan covering Nebraska. So that was correct. So you went 1-2 last week. To my surprise, USC at Colorado, I had Colorado covering in a loss. Check. I had Ole Miss beating LSU at home. Straight up. Check. And I had Michigan covering Nebraska. Check. So you're at 5-9-1. I'm at 9-6 this year. That one at the end of your record is just...
Love it. It
bothers me every single week.
Keeping me alive in this one, actually.
So, if you want betting advice, come to me. No, I'm just kidding. Absolutely, dude. Don't do that. If you would have listened to my betting advice on the Bears game last night, you would have lost yourself some money. So, yeah, don't listen to me all the time. So, I believe you went first last week, did you?
I think you did.
So, I will take the burden of going first, and I'm sorry. I just got to take it off the board. I'm going to go Texas, Oklahoma.
That's
fine. How can I not? At the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas, the Red River game is back. Number 3, Texas, and number 12, Oklahoma, both teams 5-0, 2-0. In the Big 12, Texas, a 5.5-point favorite. And give me the horns to cover that 5.5. I think they end up winning this game by a touchdown. I don't think it's a drubbing like it was last year. But I think Texas wins by a touchdown and covers against Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl. Hopefully, that is a fantastic game. It is on 11 a.m. at ABC. The over-under is 61, by the way.
All right, my pick is in the Big Ten, and Maryland at Ohio State at the Horseshoe. This game is odd because Ohio State is a 20-point favorite, and I'm not...
Come on, say it. I know you want to.
I'm not calling for a full-on upset here, but Ohio State has scored, won by more than 20 twice this year. That was Youngstown State and Western Kentucky against Indiana. They won 23-3. Maryland is the best offense this team has faced, and Ohio State is good defensively, but I really have some question marks about things on the offensive end for the Buckeyes, to the point where I really wonder if they can win by 20 points.
I like where this is going.
And in light of that, I think Ohio State wins this game. It's Big Noon, I believe.
It is Big Noon.
This is a fascinating game this week, but I think Maryland covers the 20 points and makes this thing interesting.
I 100% agree with that. I think I wouldn't be surprised if this is a touchdown game going into the fourth quarter. I really would not be surprised by that. I mean, Maryland's offense has been really, really good, as you mentioned. Definitely the best that Ohio State will see this year. I don't know why. I've just been like really high on Maryland. I like watching them. I think they're fun. They're very fast-paced. Little Tua's had a really good year. I know he doesn't like to be called that, but I'm going to call him that anyway. Talia, 13 touchdowns, just 3 picks. He's got 1,400 yards through 5 games. I mean, he's been really good. I'm interested to see, could it be the Marvin Harrison show for Ohio State? I don't know. So yeah, that'll be a good game. I like that pick a lot. For my second game, I could go a lot of different directions here, but I'm going to go to the SEC. And I'm going to go number 23, LSU, at number 21, Mizzou. LSU's 3-2, 2-1 in the SEC. Mizzou 5-0, 1-0 in the SEC. LSU, and this line has changed since earlier this morning, is a 5-point favorite on the road in Columbia. So I'm going to pick the Tigers here, obviously, because I have to.
Which one?
But I'm going to pick the Tigers of Mizzou. Oh, they're going to go to 6-0. LSU is not as good as we all thought they were going to be. I think Missouri's not getting enough credits, and I think Mizzou ends up winning straight up against LSU at home, and they improved to 6-0. So give me the Mizzou Tigers over the LSU Tigers.
All right, I did not want to pick this game.
Well, then why are you picking it?
But here I am. Here I am picking this game. Washington State and UCLA. I thought about
Wazoo.
I thought about Alabama. I thought about it. I contemplated it. Somehow, Wazoo's getting doubted again. Rose Bowl,
which is ridiculous.
Pasadena, California. UCLA is a 3-point favorite after a 14-7 loss to Utah. This game will be a lot more higher, a lot higher scoring. This is a tough stretch for UCLA. They face Oregon State after this game, Stanford, which will be a breather, and then Colorado. And then you had Utah the game before. So, you know, four of your five opponents in this stretch are either currently or were ranked at some point this year. And Colorado won't be an easy out, and I think we've established that at this point. UCLA is a 3-point favorite at the Rose Bowl. This is a 2:00 kick on the Pac-12 network. Wow, I'm so sad that this game is on the Pac-12 network. I like Washington State. Get them to 5-0. Both these teams are off a bye, so you're on even footing there. Yeah, I think give me Wazoo. We'll go big. We'll say Wazoo wins it 28. Well, actually, that's not probably too low scoring. We'll go 42 to 31.
I was going to say you at least need to go 30. At least. What would happen if Wazoo makes the playoff? Are we getting...
Well, I mean, you got to consider Washington in that discussion too. I mean, the Pac-12 will not... I mean, getting two in for the Pac-12 will be really difficult. Now, Washington State, to get to the playoff, they probably have got to beat Oregon and Washington at the end of the year. And then avoid somewhere in between an upset at the hands of Arizona, Arizona State, Stanford, California, Colorado, or UCLA this week.
So here's my question. If they do, against all odds, if they make it, are we getting old Crimson shirts? Because I feel like we have to. We've been all over Wazoo this year.
Good story. It's kind of been our
team. I mean, dude, they're good. They're good football team.
They really are.
I know that people kind of make fun of Pullman Washington, and Mike Leach was there, and he's obviously a really funny guy, and it just kind of that whole when Mike Leach was the coach there, they were a damn good football team. They won 11 games a season. People forget that. So I think they're kind of on that same trajectory. They're fun to watch. So if you haven't watched a Washington State game yet, highly recommend. They are fun, especially a home game. Oh my goodness, that place is rocking. It holds 38,000 people, and it's still just rocking. It's so awesome. So, final game of the week. You know where we're going. Nebraska at Illinois. Illinois, 3.5-point favorite. Over-under is 42. 7 p.m. kickoff on FS1. It's going to be 49 degrees in Champaign, Illinois. I know what my argument is. I know I said I wasn't confident in saying that. There's a game left on Nebraska's schedule where if they don't win, I'm like, oh my God, how come they didn't win?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to go there. I think I'm going to say Nebraska wins tonight. And I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think you're pretty accurate with that race to 20 statement. So give me Nebraska. I'm going to go Huskers 20, Illinois 17 in a barn burner. At Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Illinois. I kind of realized that as I said that. So, in all seriousness, glad that everything's okay, but you know that that's kind of low-hanging fruit now is a joke. So,
it's true. It's true, it is. Look, I agree with you. I think Nebraska wins tonight. I'm a little bit more confident than you are. I don't think Nebraska is a great football team, but I know Illinois isn't. I mean, if Nebraska loses this game tonight, there is some serious, serious questions for the rest of the year. Illinois just got – now, they battled. It was 16-13 Purdue at the half. but they got completely embarrassed by the Boilermakers on the road. The best win of the year is probably Toledo, and they fell behind by as many as 11 in that game. Had to come back, had that, you know, prayer of a field goal. Then you have a win over FAU that's 23-17. I mean, nothing on here is that impressive. The 30-13 loss to Penn State could have been worse. The Kansas loss could have been worse. This isn't a good team, which is obviously good for Nebraska in that case, right?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't say Nebraska is a great team, or maybe even a good team. So I think Nebraska wins tonight. They have to win this game tonight if they want to make a bowl game, in my mind. We'll go Nebraska wins it 24, and we'll give Illinois 13.
24-13. There you have it. So we both have Nebraska winning on the road. Hopefully that happens, because that would get them to 3-3 and get them their first Big Ten win of the year. I feel like there's just so many good games on this week. I'm looking for an honorable mention pick. I think I'm going to steal Alabama from you, because they're only a one-point favorite on the road. That could be the Jimbo Fisher revenge game right there.
You do not want to bet against – I just – my thought is you don't want to bet against Alabama against a former Saban assistant.
That's true.
That's – to me, it's – that's bait. That's a trap.
It's always bait every single time. So – a really good week of college football coming up, and hopefully Nebraska can get a win on Friday night, and that will set you up for quite the Saturday full of good vibes and good football. And, oh, yeah, the Bears won last night. I had to say it. 40-20, they finally got the win column. 347 days later, they did it. So
one win further away from the number one pick.
One win closer to the Super Bowl.
That's true.
That's the way you should be looking at it, negative Nancy. Jeez. But, yeah, I mean, that's all I got here today. Any final words before we depart with the people?
No. We got a good football game on tonight, volleyball match as well that Nebraska should win handily. There we go.
So that'll do it for us on episode 123 of Husker Sports Weekly. It is game day, Nebraska, Illinois at 7 o'clock on Fox Sports 1 tonight. Once again, you can find us on Twitter at @C_Clark_27 and at Hanson, not Hanson. You can find our show on Twitter at Husker Weekly and search Husker Sports Weekly in the search bar of your favorite podcast networks to find our show. Go find a good spot for the game tonight. Enjoy it, and hopefully the Huskers bring you a win, so you can enjoy your Saturday slate of college football this weekend. So, should be a fun night. Hopefully, it'll be a good game. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully about a Husker win going into a bye week. But until then, go Big Red.